little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
Our next area of interest is fatigue. So a very common GP presentation. So we're going to have a crack at how you might ask the red flag questions relating to fatigue. Do you want to have a go with that first, Tamsin?
Yeah, so the patient's complaining of fatigue, and there's a few red flag questions that I would usually include in the consultation. So they might go along the lines of, have you noticed any change in your bowel habit or any blood in your stool? How has your weight been?
Yeah, it's been fine, doctor.
And do you have a cough at all?
No.
And any fever or sweats?
No.
No. And noticed any swellings or lumps and bumps anywhere?
I haven't seen any.
No, okay. And is there a family history of anything such as presentations with extra lumps, bumps, lymph node problems?
Not on my side of the family.
No, okay. And then just to touch on something slightly different, how do you feel you've been in yourself recently from a more sort of emotional point of view?
Well, I guess there's been a bit going on in my life, yes. I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you have had quite a bit going on. Would you go so far as to say that you're stressed at the minute?
I wouldn't say any more than usual, doctor.
Okay. And can you tell me a bit about how your mood's been recently?
It's been okay, actually. Thank you.
Okay. So those are the sort of safe red flag questions you might ask around fatigue. I suppose we see fatigue a lot, and it might be that the presentation does point more to a psychological cause. However, many patients do want to go on and have some blood tests to rule out many of the sort of more physical causes. And you might explore that with the patient. So that would be one option. And depending on what they want to do, you would always include a pretty solid safety net at the end. So depending on what they've said, your safety net might go along the lines of something like this.
So can I just butt in very briefly before you go with the safety netting? Because I think that's absolutely right. We have this sort of presentation so frequently in primary care that it kind of is, it's important for us to act to a degree as gatekeepers to make sure that we don't over-investigate some of these patients, some of these people. Mm-hmm. So I probably would, before I give them any safety netting information about this, then I would pretext it. You can't choose a one-size-fits-all for patients. You can't say, no, you're not having any blood tests at this time. But I would perhaps suggest to them that it's not necessary to do the blood test at the first hurdle, the first point of contact, with statements such as this. So the majority of people who are tired most of the time don't have a problem that's helped with tests. I would usually wait a month before doing any tests at this stage. How does that sound? I should see you again at that time too. I know you're a bit worried about cancer, but none of the symptoms that you're describing at the moment point in the direction of cancer. And then we could then perhaps talk about the symptoms that we want a safety net for this particular presentation for this particular patient. So we could maybe give an example of that.
Okay, so you might safety net along these lines. So as we've discussed, it doesn't sound like there's any indication cancer is part of why you're feeling tired. But if you did develop any of these symptoms, they'd be symptoms that would make us think a little bit more closely about the possibility of cancer, and we might have to sort of look into it further. So definitely do come back and see me if you develop any of them. So that might be where you've got a persistent change with your bowels, where they're looser than usual, or persistently bleeding when you'd go to the toilet, noticing that you're losing weight without trying, a reduction in your appetite. You might find you're sweating at night, or you might notice you've got lumps or bumps. If they're over a few centimetres and they're persisting for more than a couple of weeks, then that might be something you want us to sort of have a feel of. The other thing would be making sure you're not getting more breathless than normal, not developing a cough, and not developing any difficulty swallowing.
So when we're talking about fatigue, there are so many potential avenues that this illness would go down, aren't there, really? And I guess that a lot of the safety netting that we give in normal general practice is quite non-specific, but what we're trying to do is to experiment with trying to make that advice more specific to that patient's concerns or to their thoughts related to this illness. So at least they know on that score what sort of symptoms would represent the sort of biggest fear that they've got. So if they're worried particularly about bowel cancer, then we would start at the top end with change in bowel habit and any blood in the stool and changes in weight and losses of appetite. Those would be perhaps the ones that we'd want to emphasise more. And if they were worried about something else going on, then we might highlight other avenues. So fatigue is very nonspecific. And in reality, fatigue, the things that we most commonly see in general practice as presentations for fatigue are more likely to be psychological problems. So I guess we shouldn't be forgetting that that's what's likely to be behind it. Mm-hmm. And how do we catch those patients and make sure that they don't feel that we're not taking an interest in psychological problems because we're really just focusing on the possibility that there could be a physical illness. So I think it's sometimes worthwhile being quite explicit about time spans, about saying to patients, it's really helpful that if you're not feeling any better, or if you're feeling worse in general terms, then it's probably worthwhile being seen again. Mm-hmm. So that you don't miss anything too important. But maybe this is the time to highlight to the patient that there's a reasonable chance that this could be a psychological problem or even a functional problem. Mm-hmm. And actually allowing them to have that information sink in so that when they come back and you say, well, I haven't found anything, we've done a few tests, I haven't found anything, you can then stop doing tests and then start to deal with the problem that it actually is presenting and that you then have a better chance of being able to help them better with them at that stage.
Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no confusion.